In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, the Apostle Paul writes that we live by faith, not by sight. What we see in life does not always seem to correspond with what God's word tells us. And we have to live by faith in the word of God rather than according to what we see with our eyes. And that was something that was very true for God's servant David, of whom we have been reading. David had been anointed by God's prophet Samuel. He had the word, he had the promise of God that David would be king after Saul. And yet the things that David passed through in life again and again suggested to him that he was not going to survive to be king after Saul. Saul was committed to taking away the life of David. And God didn't seem to be doing very much about keeping that promise that David was going to be the next king after Saul. David had to live by faith and not by sight. What he saw was terrifying, and yet the promises of God were still there. In David's experience, God's pace of moving things along was rather slow. And that might be our experience in life also. There will be times in life where it seems as if God is dragging his heels. There may be other times where it seems as if God is moving things along far more quickly than we are ready for. We have to live by faith and not by sight. And David had to live by faith and not by sight. I want to speak, first of all, from these two chapters, 1 Samuel 19 and 20, about Saul's evil heart. One of the main reasons why it was so hard for David to live by faith and not by sight was the presence of Saul as the king of Israel. And in chapters 19 and 20 of 1 Samuel, we see Saul again. He wants to have David put to death. And then he changes his mind after Jonathan, his son, speaks to him. And then he changes his mind again and he's trying to have David killed again. But we find at the start of chapter 19 that he issues an order that David is to be killed. That's what Saul wants. He wants rid of him. And Jonathan, Saul's son, pleads with his father to change his mind. He argues that David has done nothing wrong against Saul, that David has been a blessing to Saul. And Jonathan seems to succeed. Verse 6 of chapter 19, Saul, we're told, heeds the voice of Jonathan. And Saul swore, "As the Lord lives, David shall not be killed." But it's not very long before Saul again becomes jealous of David. And while David is playing his harp in Saul's presence, Saul tries to pin him to the wall with his spear, but David eludes him and he slips away. And then Saul sends men to David's house, and the men are there surrounding his house, and they're ready to capture him in the morning. But when the morning comes, David is already gone. And then Saul sends his men to capture David when he is told that David is with the prophet Samuel. And again, the men fail to do what Saul wants them to do. And so we see in Saul a man who says one thing, but then does something very different instead. And in many ways, this man Saul is typical of an unbelieving sinner. Saul is capable of recognizing his own sin. When Jonathan tells him he's wrong, he sees it. And he vows that he will not have David killed. He knows that what he's doing is wrong, but then very quickly he's back doing the very same thing again. And although he has the words to say that David shall never be put to death, he doesn't have the strength in himself to continue with that intention. And many of us here today who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ can testify that we have been in that situation ourselves. We have heard God speaking into our conscience. God has convicted us of our sin. We have known that we have been wrong before God. And we haven't had the strength to change. We haven't been able to change our way of life. But we can testify that what we weren't able to do, that what we didn't have the strength for, that God himself has done for us. God has shown us that we can say the right things, but we can't do the right things. And God has shown us that we need a Savior to change our heart, to change the very desires of our heart. And the Lord has drawn us to Jesus Christ himself as the Savior we need. Saul is someone who illustrates clearly the things that the Apostle Paul wrote about at the end of Romans chapter 1, about how God deals with unbelievers and how God hands over unbelievers to their own desires. He gives them what they want. At the end of Romans 1, Paul says, although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do those very things, but also approve of those who practice them. And Saul had his heart set on doing what was wrong. He had his heart set on something. He knew that thing was wrong, and he was willing to make thousands of others a part of that evil plan against David. We see an evil heart in Saul. And if we're humble, we'll recognize that there is an evil heart in ourselves. And we can say we'll do the right thing, but we'll not do the right thing. And it'll happen again and again and again. And only by the grace of God will our lives be changed. David had to cope with Saul, a king with an evil heart. And David was the one that had to flee. And that wasn't an easy way for David to have to live. And yet, we find in the second place, we find again and again evidence of God's protective care. God watches over David. We've already seen that in chapter 18, where God spared David's life from the attacks and the schemes of Saul. He spares his life again. In chapter 19, he uses Jonathan on one occasion to be the protector of David. He uses David's wife, Michal, to be his protector. He gives David the swiftness of foot to avoid the lunge of Saul with his spear. But surely the most reassuring act of deliverance was that which took place on four occasions when David was in the company of Samuel. The fact that David was in the company of Samuel, the Lord's prophet, didn't stop Saul from trying to go and get David there. On the first three occasions, Saul sends men to capture David, but instead of doing what Saul sent them to do, these men end up prophesying along with Samuel and the young prophets that he is training. And so in the end, Saul decides he'll have to go and do it himself. But when he does that, we're told that the Spirit of God came even upon Saul. even upon this man with a heart set against God's anointed. The Spirit of God comes upon Saul. Saul is totally overwhelmed by the Spirit of God. He can't do what he intends to do, and he is utterly subject to the control of God. And so God protects David again and again. And there are things here that Christians can draw great comfort from. The enemies of God can often seem to be very strong, very powerful, that they have all the resources and all the strength. They have the power and they have the influence. And yet, they can only lay a finger on God's people when the Lord himself permits it. And David was surrounded by the Lord. God protected him. And God is still well able to look after his people and to protect his people. God is able today to shield his people from all the harms and schemes and evil intentions of men. For those who love God, all things do work together for good. And all things have been placed under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. He really has been appointed as head over all things for the church. And there's only sometimes that we get a glimpse of how God surrounds and protects his people. But David saw it again and again and again. I'm reading at the minute the story of J.G. Payton, Scottish RP missionary to the New Hebrides Islands, and an amazing story. And pretty much every day his life was in danger from the cannibals on the island of Tanna that he was seeking to reach with the gospel. And he couldn't trust them. They would say one thing and do something totally different. They would be up to all sorts of tricks to try to lure him away and get him in a place where they could kill him. And God watched over him in a whole variety of ways. And it is the case that for all of us, we are immortal until God is finished with us. Until our work for the Lord is done, we are safe in his hands. David knew God's protective care again and again. But it wasn't easy being David. And the third thing I want to speak about today is how in David we see faith under pressure. You might think that incident at Naoth in Ramah, where David is protected from Saul's men three occasions and then from Saul himself on one occasion, you might think that would give David an unshakable trust and confidence in God, but that wasn't the way things worked out. Saul didn't just go home that day and that was an end to it all. David knew that Saul would be after him again. And his desire to have David killed continues on into chapter 20. And David knows it. Jonathan doesn't know it. Jonathan didn't know about what Saul had gone to do. He had kept it from Jonathan, but David knew well about it. And in verse 3 of chapter 20, we see how things felt to David at that time. He says there at the end of that verse, "But truly, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, there is but a step between me and death." David didn't feel as if he was wonderfully surrounded by God. David felt as if he was a step away from death. That's how it felt to him. And he comes up with a scheme, David and Jonathan, by which Jonathan will be able to see truly what Saul's intentions are. And Jonathan is utterly saddened and horrified to find that what David was saying was actually true. And we find that so angry is Saul with David and with what Jonathan has done in support of David that he hurls his spear at his own son to try to kill Jonathan. And Jonathan then knows clearly that David has to flee, that David has to go and hide, that it is not safe for David to be anywhere near his father Saul. And so these two great friends who had entered into a covenant with each other, they have to separate. David becomes a fugitive from the wrath of Saul, and Jonathan has to go back and live with his father and cope with this situation of seeing his father deteriorate and not having the opportunity to be with his friend. Only on one other brief occasion were David and Jonathan able to see one another again. And these were utterly frustrating and challenging days for David. Yes, he had seen what God had done in protecting him from Saul. Yet, if God was able to protect David from Saul, how easily God could just have taken Saul out of the picture completely. And what was the benefit to the people of Israel to have Saul there as their king? He was a man who had no heart for God. He was a man who was making all the wrong choices, all the wrong decisions. He was against those who were on the Lord's side. And what good was Saul for Israel? And God didn't take Saul away. There he is. And month after month and year after year, David's life is in danger. Saul is on the throne. Saul can go back to his palace. Saul can enjoy all the trappings of being king. And David has to flee to the hills and the deserts and the rocky places and the forests and live as a fugitive, constantly on the run. And no doubt David would have been happy if he could just trade some of those miraculous deliverances for a bit of peace and quiet and not having to be on the run. God's ways didn't really make much sense as David looked at them. Why did God not just take Saul away? And God's ways can often seem strange and mysterious to his people. God doesn't tend to bring us forward in the Christian life on a smooth learning curve. We can have days, weeks and months and even years where we wonder, why is God doing things the way he is doing things? For David, it would have been easy to get resentful against God. Why did God not do the thing that would have been easy for God to do, and that would have solved all the problems? And David would have been king, and people would have supported him, and all would have been so much easier for David. But God didn't do that. Why was he the one that had to be on the run when he was honoring God? And Saul, who was against God, he could take things easy and enjoy being king. And as well as being a fugitive, David had to live with the pain of being separated from his wife, from his family, from his best friend. No doubt there were days when David thought, I would have been better if I had never gone out against Goliath at all. It brought him nothing but trouble. It aroused the jealousy of Saul, and David had no peace. David had obeyed God. He had acted in courageous faith, and yet it seemed to bring him nothing but trouble. Life was so much easier for David when he was at home, out there looking after the sheep. Sometimes there was danger. There was a lion and there was a bear. But those were easier things for David to cope with. And this being on the run was a real challenge to his faith. And sometimes his faith did waver. Sometimes, rather than seeing the God who was protecting him, what he saw was that he was just a step away from death. Well, there were no easy answers for David. There were no answers given to him. God didn't send the prophet Samuel to David and had Samuel explain to David that this is what God's doing and this is why God is doing this. And if you hang in there, eventually the day will come when Saul will be gone and you will be king. David wasn't given any explanation. David just had to keep on the run, keep on the move, keep away from Saul. Well, we could probably guess what God was doing. We could probably have an idea that, well, maybe this was a factor in God's thinking. Maybe God was teaching David that he wasn't to rely on man, but that he was to rely only upon the Lord, because there were people that let David down on various occasions. Maybe he was teaching David to be patient. Maybe as a king, that's a very important thing, to be patient. David had to learn to be patient in all of this. But David wasn't told what this was all for. God gave David no explanation. And that's the way it is normally in life. Normally in life, when things don't work out the way we want them to, when things seem to go astray, there are no explanations that are given to us. There will be times in our lives when we're conscious of how hard it is to live by faith rather than living by sight. It will seem as if God has lost control, and we have to believe and know that he has not. There'll be things in life that we'll ask God to do for us, and we'll think, well, that will be easy for God to do, and he won't do it, because his plan is a different plan. There'll be times in life when it'll seem as if seeking to honor God will bring us nothing but trouble. That's how it was with David. He had gone forward courageously and sought to honor the Lord, and it brought him the jealousy of Saul and nothing but trouble. And David's faith wavered. There were times where he struggled during those years of keeping one step ahead of Saul. And so, if the faith of the man who was willing to go out and fight against Goliath, if his faith wavered, well, then we shouldn't be surprised if our faith wavers at times. We shouldn't be surprised if we struggle at times to keep on believing that God is real and that he has us in his hands and he will do well in how he handles our lives. We will go through testing times as followers of Jesus Christ. There'll be times when it will be painful to keep going what we believe to be God's way for us. Isaiah the prophet writes in chapter 50, verse 10, he says, "Let him who walks in the dark, who has no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God." Sometimes as a Christian, you're just walking in the dark. And the way things work out, there is no light that makes sense of it. You're walking in the dark and you have no light. And what do you have to do? Isaiah says, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on God. God did know what he was doing in the life of David. To David, it would have seemed utterly chaotic. It would have seemed as if surely there's an easier way for all of this to be sorted out. David didn't know what God was doing in David's life. David had no explanation for it. He just had to keep on going. He had to keep on believing that this is what God has promised, and God will bring me to that thing that he has promised that he will bring me to. And so it is for those who follow our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to cling to the Lord. We have to cling to his promises. We have no other Savior. We have no other hope. To use parliamentary language, we could say it's his way or no way. We have to follow Jesus. We have to accept whatever that brings to us, and we have to believe that he is there with us every step of the way. It might not feel like it. David was greatly afraid, greatly perturbed in his heart. Life was very difficult for David, but the Lord was with him in the midst of it all. So we learn from God's servant David that we have to strive to live by faith and not by sight. David didn't find that easy, but that was the way that he had to go. Amen.